I got some directions from the Lord for this morning. One of the things that we're going to probably do every Sunday when we come together is to pray the governing prayer for this nation. It's really important. In the bulletin, I wrote some things regarding that prayer. And one of the things I'd like to bring out to your attention is that when you add up the people in our federal government who are in places of prominence, there's a total of 545 men and women. That kind of reduces the bigness, meaning like, well, how do you pray for all this? But when you realize that it's not that many people in the federal government that we're praying for, it's a more manageable thought. And then consider this. When God begins to affect the federal government, there's a trickle-down principle, and then it begins to affect state and local officials and people in prominence. So we're not going to let this nation go to hell in a handbag. I'm not a Christian nationalist. I believe there's a difference between the kingdom of God and the nation. On the other hand, and at the same time, there's a responsibility given to Christians to pray for those in leadership in order that we here in the kingdom of God will live godly, peaceable lives, and that the environment that we create through our prayers would open the doors for the salvation of the lost, to preach the gospel, because God wants all men to be saved. And whenever God establishes the church in a nation, he does hold that nation accountable, or does hold that church accountable for the nation. Otherwise, he would never have taught us to be salt and light to people. So there's an accountability of our presence, how effective we are to influence righteousness in any nation, anywhere in the world, and to bring peace and to see the salvation of the lost. So those are important principles. But I do not believe that the United States of America is in the kingdom of God. It's just another nation like the rest of the nations of the world, and the kingdom of God is different. We're in it, and the nation isn't in it. But we can bring the influence of the kingdom to the nation and bring healing and health and peace and prosperity and the elimination of all that's going on. This nation's in a bad place. So we're going to begin. You can pray silently. The prayer is going to be put up here on the screen, and you should keep a copy of the card, that governing prayer card, with you so that you can pray throughout the week. So, Father, we come to you in the holy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that you have called us out of darkness, that you have revealed the Son to us and in us, and that we have received him and we have become the sons of God. Thank you for that authority, that privilege, that right, that this is who we are now in your sight, your own children. And we are going to pray according to the will that you have shown us regarding all people, and those especially in places of governing positions. And we ask you to hear our prayers and grant them through Jesus Christ that your will would be done through these people. Even though they do not all know you, it matters not, because you can influence the heart of even kings and turn them whether any way you wish. So we offer up these prayers today with our faith and trust in you. You would not have shown us to pray this way if you did not intend to accomplish your will. We give you praise, and above all, we give you glory. Amen. So now take some time to just, in your own way, offer up your prayer for those in leadership and in governing positions. Praise God. Bless you. Then, next thing, you may have gotten a card like this in your bulletin. You see the yellow or white if you picked up one at the door. Does everybody have one of these? It says, I am. They're all the same. They're both the same. Okay? The card says, I am. Okay. This is a declaration and a proclamation. It's important for the body of Christ to declare itself, to profess its faith. Why? Because we live in a world that is professing its beliefs constantly, without fail all the time. And Christians need to strengthen themselves by statements of our own declaration of what we are, what we believe about God. So I'll be making up proclamations like this as the Lord directs me, having to do with specific subjects. You can keep these cards, you can put them in your Bibles, carry them in your purses, leave them at home, stick them on the refrigerator, put them on your desk, wherever. But there'll be helpful reminders that you can declare these truths in the midst of all that else is going on in this world and in this nation. This is a declaration I'd like us to all speak out together, okay? It's up here if you want to read it off the top. And when you're ready, we can declare it. Are you guys ready? Okay. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I have been saved by the precious blood of the Lamb and born of God's Spirit. I live to declare the works of God and give him glory in my life. God hears my prayers in Jesus' name and answers them, so the Father is glorified in the Son. I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and my Father meets all my needs. I cast all my cares on him because he cares for me. I walk in humility and live in the shadow of the Almighty, who is my refuge. No evil or plague comes near me as his angels keep charge over me. Amen. Praise God for that. Now we want to move to another area that God wants to bless you with this morning, and that is healing. It's no secret that we live in a very sick, and I mean sick, physically sick, as well as mentally and emotionally sick society. In all my years, I've never seen so much sickness. I want to say something carefully. I believe in the medical profession. I also thank God for the medical profession, but I also see the medical profession exploding, along with especially pharmacies, big pharma, in this nation, to the point now where instead of us seeing the need for them when we are sick, they are advertising us constantly. Do you see that, or am I? Do you see that? Constant efforts to sell medical procedures, medicines, you name it. And you drive up and down the streets of any city in the United States, and you're going to find more buildings popping up as clinics, medical centers, urgent care. Again, I want to say I am grateful that there are those for people who do get sick. At the same time, we're looking at the power of suggestion and influence that is being influenced upon this nation, and that affects some Christians who begin to wonder whether or not they have what the medicines that are being advertised purport to heal. Go check out with your doctor. One of the advertisements is for a device that you can put your fingers on and find out how well your heart is ticking. Yeah? Like, really? 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 Do you need to get that thing to find out if your heart's okay and to worry about that every day of your life? I mean, that's just one example. Do you need to buy that? Huh? Whose benefit is that for? The threat, the intimidation, the worry, the dread that is starting to rise up among people who all they think about is their health. The Lord said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. When he took Israel out of the wilderness, he brought them to a place called Marah. And Marah was a bitter water. And the people came there looking for water because they were thirsty, and the waters were bitter. This is in Exodus 15. And so they began to complain to Moses, and Moses went to the Lord, and he said, "What on earth should I do?" And the Lord said to him, "Cut down a tree and throw it in the water." And when he cut down the tree and threw it in the water, the waters became sweet and the people could drink the water. It's more than a miracle. It's a portent, a future prophetic demonstration of the tree representing Christ, who is the tree of life, and the cross upon which all of our sins were born, that bore away our sicknesses and our diseases, as well as our sins. And the Lord goes on to say through Moses, he said, "If you will listen to my voice, pay attention to the things I tell you to do, keep my word, my commandments, then I promise you this, I will not let any of the diseases that went upon the Egyptians come upon you. Amen. I am the Lord that heals you." That was the first time that God declared to his people that he was a healer. And throughout history, he has made that clear. He did it through Isaiah and Isaiah 53:5, sharing that by the stripes of Jesus Christ, by his stripes, we would be healed. He took away all of our sins. He bore all of our iniquities. He bore our punishment. And at the same time, by his stripes, we are healed. And then it's repeated again and again and again. So I want you to go to Matthew chapter 4. The reason I'm sharing this with you is because I want to bolster your faith. God wants to bolster your faith in him. I'm starting to see people put masks on again because there's these subtle innuendos that the COVID plague is going to come back, or something worse, or a variant, or this or that. The masks never work. They never will work. They don't protect you, and they don't help others. It's just a performance to control people, to get everybody to do the same thing. I will say this to anybody. I'm not afraid to admit that truth. It has been scientifically proven that the mask does not prevent you from getting COVID, nor does it prevent the spread of COVID. At the same time, I have pity and compassion upon those who are afraid. When I see them wearing them, I pray for them. I realize they're under pressure, they're fearful, they're worried. They wonder if their lives are going to be snatched away through some pandemic. And I say, "Oh God, if only they knew you, the healer." The Lord said, "I will put none of the plagues that fell upon Egypt," in other words, the world, "if you will walk in my ways, if you'll listen to my voice, I will keep you. I'm the Lord that heals you." We either believe that or we don't. Isn't that true? Even the simplicity of the gospel is at stake here. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. This is the first thing that Jesus began to do. Verse 23. "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demonically possessed, including epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them all." This means that the gospel of our salvation is thoroughly connected both with the saving of our souls and the healing of our bodies. They are inseparable. If we go over to chapter 9, verse 1. "So he got into a boat and crossed over and came to his own city. And there, behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to them, to the paralytic, 'Son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you.' And at once some of the scribes said within themselves, 'This man blasphemes.' But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, 'Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier, to say, your sins are forgiven you, or say, arise and walk? but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Then he said to the paralytic, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. And he arose and departed to his house. Here's the question. Do you think it's easier for Jesus to forgive sins than it is for him to heal people? In your heart, have you decided that Jesus has forgiven you of your sins? If you are settled in that, then you should be settled that Jesus can be your healer, because they go together. They're the flip side of the same coin. Forgiveness on one side, healing on the other. We don't have one without the other. They are connected. The gospel without power is not much of a gospel. The gospel that does not heal is not much of a gospel. The gospel that does not command demons to leave people is not much of a gospel. If Jesus said you can be forgiven of your sins, he also meant you could be healed because of the sin that brought about that sickness or that disease, or because Satan simply has come to you to torment you, to bring evil upon you, to bring sickness to you. It says in Acts chapter 10 that Jesus went about healing all, that God was with him, and that he went about healing all who were sick and oppressed of the devil. The root of sickness is not just sin, but Satan, who magnifies the sicknesses in people's lives. We are a fallen race for sure, and because of that, because of the centuries and decades and millennia of sin that has rotted the human race, destroying the image of God in us, taking away the strength of God in us, we have become subject to a lot of diseases. God does not want that. Satan wants to perpetrate it. He will not succeed. Why are we bringing this up today? Two reasons. Number one, God loves you. He wants you whole. He loves you and wants you whole. He loves you and wants you whole. Jesus bore away in his body all diseases, maladies, infirmities, sicknesses. He bore them away. They were put upon him. As the sins were put upon him, also put upon him were the diseases. By the stripes of Jesus Christ, we are healed. Those stripes, caused bruising, bleeding, you name it, from the top of his head right down to the tips of his toes. His entire body was bruised, signifying that our entire bodies can be whole. He bore away all of our sin and all of our sickness. It's not hard. I don't want you to feel like, oh God, I gotta believe that. It was not hard for you to believe that Jesus forgave your sins. So relax. Relax. Just relax. Accept healing. Accept it the same way you accepted his forgiveness. And give him thanks for it. And praise him. And glorify him. And receive it. Just yield to it. I am the God that heals thee. That's what he said. I am the God that heals thee. Not only that, he will recover things in your life that have been broken, destroyed, disturbed, affected, out of order, do not work well, your organs might be not functioning enough to speak. God is a restorer. Of course, we know at some point in our lives we're not going to live forever. But in the meantime, God is our healer. So what I was instructed to do, to tell you this morning to do, is that we're going to come to the communion table because it reminds us, Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Not just in remembrance of his dying to take away our sin, but his dying to bring healing to us. That we consider that, and that we not only recognize the value of the Lord's body, but that we discern the whole body, this body, and realize that we are all one, that God wants us all healed, that we consider one another, that after we take communion this morning, let us come into the, or when we do so, we normally come into either family groups or groups of friends, but we don't take it individually by ourselves, we take it collectively. And after you have received the elements, then it's time to minister healing to one another. So we're going to have to admit to one another what it is we need healing for. And this is what I want you to do. Don't pray to God to heal them. God wants you, Christ in you, to bring healing. Do you follow this, please? Oftentimes we expect God to do everything out of heaven when he expects us to do things here on earth. The prayer of the faithful will heal the sick. We speak life over each other. We lay hands on the sick, they recover. If there are any sins that you have committed, confess them, because sin will hold sickness in you. You don't want to hold on to something. Bitterness, unbeliefs, whatever it is. Anger, resentment, jealousies, let them all go. Let everything go. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Doctors and psychiatrists will tell you that emotional stresses having to do with unforgiveness and all the other evil thoughts that we have towards one another can affect the body. And these are not believers. They see that the signals that are sent from the mind to the body have a direct relationship on our overall health. So do not let anything in your heart stay. It is not worth it. Bitterness is a rottenness to the bones. Envy and jealousy suck the life out of you. Come on, unforgiveness? It's not worth it, beloved. Remember, God forgave you, and we forgive as we are forgiven. Praise God for that. We've all had enough pain. We have all suffered rejection, betrayals and disappointments with brothers and sisters. Let it go, 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 let it go. You're not going to retaliate. What good would that do? They forgot about you. Isn't that true? Love them. Love them. Pray for them. Bless them. In Jesus' name. Live in peace. So we're going to bring the table over. Come up. Take your elements back to your little groups, families, or friends, and whatever. Make sure you pray with one another over the elements. And then confess what you have need of and let the other brothers and sisters minister healing to you through the laying on of hands, through a word of knowledge, through a gift of faith, for a gift of healing or a miracle. It's time to let the spiritual gifts function again. Somebody said? Somebody said? How many said it? How many times do we need to hear that? We have got to come back to the reality of who we are. We are supernatural beings filled with a supernatural God who does things supernaturally. Hallelujah. You all agree? Amen. Amen. Yes, Bob?
While Pastor was sharing, and he was talking about forgiving others, and, you know, sometimes we go through the act of forgiving, or we, you know, we say we forgive so-and-so for what they've done, how they may have hurt us. And then sometimes, could be the day later, week later, we don't feel any different. And God was showing me something as Pastor was speaking. It's one thing to say that we forgive, but I think on occasion we need to, maybe even daily, maybe even first thing in the morning, forgive that person, that situation. I promise you, if you do it, you may not feel it today immediately, but if you will do this on a repetitive basis, you will get to the place where, guess what? You are not only in a place where you have truly forgiven them, but you become free. And that's what God wants. He wants us to be free. You want that? Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. That reminds me of something that happened this past week with Andrea and I. Somebody who was part of this church many, many years ago requested to have a visit with Andrea and I to make an appointment to see us. We didn't know why. So we said, fine, and this person came and came into the office and said they wanted to ask for forgiveness for the way they left the church many years ago, that they went out with a mob of people who had offenses and discord and stuff like that. And it had been bothering this person so badly that this person was not able to bring her offering to the Lord, like it says in Scripture. If you have anything against anybody, or you believe the other side, that they might have something against you, really, don't bring your gift up to God. Go and get reconciled. Go and ask for forgiveness. Bring peace. That's Scripture. And so this woman did it. I wasn't going to mention woman or man, but I guess I let the cat out of the bag. And it was the most profound thing, and we had communion. We took communion together, and she was so delighted and so released and so happy and joyful. From our side, we had forgotten about it. Decades ago, we were fine. We were completely at peace with this person, as with so many others, because we had made that our decision, Bob, just like you were saying. Sometimes you have to go over it many times to complete the act of forgiveness. But from this person's side, there was no peace until she came and said, would you forgive me for the way I left and what I said and things of that nature? And of course, we had already done so, but she was free and whole with that. So let that be a lesson to all of us. Amen. Let's take our communion elements, meet in our gatherings together. You may have to search out somebody that you know, you haven't been with before, which is okay, and let God be God as you minister healing to one another. Okay? Thank you.